Welcome to episode 14 of Tom Harris USA. This is Tom Harris. Oh, the days just fly by. I can't believe it's already been 4 days since the last episode. It just kind of snuck up on me this time around. Maybe it's just because I've been so busy doing other things. What other things, you ask? I don't really have much to report. Even though it seems like I've been very busy, not a lot has been going on. Still very busy at work. We are actually shorthanded now, as I mentioned before, so work has been absolutely crazy. And when I've been getting home in the evening, I just have not wanted to get onto the computer and do a show. I guess nobody's forcing me, really. I guess I don't have to do a show every 4 days. But you know what? I'd like to keep in the routine, keep doing a show, and hopefully, hopefully the shows will continue to improve. I can already see that they have improved. It might not be apparent to anybody else, mind you, but it certainly has been obvious to me. Last time I was talking about movies that are made from comics and graphic novels. And I just want to start out because I left something out last time, and I didn't mean to. I actually did mean to talk about it, but I'm going to bring that up again this show. I forgot to mention Spider-Man. Interestingly enough, Marvel's other big franchise other than X-Men. And maybe the reason why I forgot to mention it was because I find the Spider-Man films relatively unremarkable. The first one was mainly backstory and introducing the characters, and it was okay. You know, it was exciting, it was well done. And the second one I liked a whole lot more because it was your straightforward action-adventure. It was very well done. It was very, very fun to see Chicago portrayed in the movie. They filmed some exteriors here in Chicago, downtown in the Loop area. And there's the scene where Spider-Man is having to stop this runaway L train. And they actually filmed sequences of that on the Loop in downtown Chicago. Well, it's interesting because they looped the same stretch of L-track over and over again. So you'd see the same buildings over and over again. And I just happen to know where those are. So it's interesting that I know that building. I know that, you know, as they go by one. Have not yet seen the third one. It is on my Netflix queue. But Spider-Man has been one of those properties that very, very popular, obviously, in the comics. Very successful character. And the cartoon show from the late 1960s, early 1970s was, of course, iconic. And of course, everybody knows the song, Spider-Man, Spider-Man, etc., etc. So it is a popular character, but I don't know that is a movie franchise with a whole lot of life in it anymore either. You have to have Peter Parker who is not, you know, in his 40s, and a long enough period is occurring between the films that Tobey Maguire is getting visually older as time goes on. I guess that's always the problem you have when you're doing a movie every 3 years or so, and, you know, 10 years has passed by the time you get to the third one, and your star has gone from being 30 to being 40. And I can imagine that is a bit of a problem. It's suspension of disbelief. One must always suspend one's disbelief in these matters. And interestingly enough, getting away now from Spider-Man for a minute. Oh, that reminds me. No, I don't want to get away from Spider-Man yet. There was a TV show on back in the 70s, and I want to say it was around 1977, 1978, about the same time that the Incredible Hulk TV show was on. Now, I was not a fan of either one, of the Spider-Man TV show, which I thought was awful, or the Hulk with Lou Ferrigno. But the Spider-Man show was particularly bad. And a lot of it had to do with the wall-crawling effect. They try to make him look like he's crawling up the side of a building, which they do very well in the movie, I might add. The movie series do that quite well. But it looks as though he's just kind of waving his arms and legs around and being hauled up by a helicopter, which is probably how they did it. And you know, you could almost see the wires. Oh, speaking of, I'm going to go off on a tangent here. Speaking of seeing wires, I was watching an episode of Randall and Hopkirk, Deceased, the other day. And I know I've mentioned that show before. It's a show about a detective who his partner has been killed and comes back as a ghost and helps him solve various little crimes. And it's kind of a fun little show from the early 70s, I believe, from the UK. I think it was ITV. There was an episode where they had another ghost in addition to the partner of Randall, the main character. And he makes a cup fly across the room. You could see the threads. They didn't even try to hide. They didn't use fishing line. It was just like black sewing thread holding this cup as it went across the room. And you could see it clear as day. And I'd like to think that it was an oversight, but probably it was just a lack of money for special effects. And most of their special effects were, you know, stopping the camera and letting him move, you know, so that it looks like he was teleporting away. Just thought I'd get out. It's just so strange to watch a show like that, which otherwise is pretty good production values, and then have the scene where this cup is floating across the room and you can see the strings that are attached to it. It's pretty odd. Oh, but what I was saying, I watched another comics-related movie just the other night, and I didn't even think about it until right as I was going in to start the show. And that is a film called The Mostly Unfabulous Social Life of Ethan Green. Now, you may never have heard of this comic strip, but it's a comic strip that has run in various gay publications in the U.S. at least. I don't know if they run it overseas or not. Probably not. I think it has a pretty small readership, and it'd be things like you know, the Washington Blade, or you know, some of the papers like that. So this it's been kind of long running series. I have to say the movie was all right, and it was very much in the spirit of the comic strip, but I didn't find the movie appealing as far as the subject matter goes, for the same reason that I'm not a big fan of the comic strip. And it's because the character, the main character, Ethan Green, is rather unlikable, rather shallow, and very early 20s sort of, you know, gay boy shallowness that is so rife in the gay community. But there are some appealing characters in the series. I like his roommate, his lesbian roommate, and I love the Hat Sisters, who are these two older gay men who wear frocks and big hats and things. So it's campy fun. It's very much like the comic strip. If you have the opportunity, rent it. I wouldn't spend the money to buy it unless you absolutely know that you want it. But I didn't realize until, like I said, just before I came on the show, that is actually a movie based on a comic. What else? Oh, yeah, well, this week I appeared on the Lee Mills radio program. This was on Sunday, and that was interesting, to say the least. It was interesting. Lee and his guest host, none other than Ross Patzelt from the Ross Patzelt Show, had been out at the pub before they came to do the show, and I think at the count, while I was on the line with them, Ross had had 5 pints of beer. So needless to say, Ross was feeling pretty good. Oh, gosh. And to make things worse, they had had technical difficulties. And the show was supposed to start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Chicago time. So that would have been 7 o'clock UK time. But there were problems. There were technical issues with the network, and I guess they were widespread. Irving Distiller, who is a regular caller to a lot of these live shows, and he listens to Chris Reardon's show. I think he's listened to mine once or twice. mentioned that other shows had had that same exact problem that day. They were not able to keep the stream going. Yeah, that sounds like a personal problem, doesn't it? They couldn't keep the stream going. But they did finally get it going about an hour late, maybe an hour and a half late. I went on the show as a caller, and Ross got all excited, and this is Tom Harris. it was kind of fun. They had me play the yes-no game. I played two rounds of the yes-no game. The first game, I got away with it and got all the way through. And the second time, I said the word no, and that was it. But I want to thank Lee, if you're listening to my show. Thanks for having me on. It was a giggle. And I started to have computer problems there towards the end. I was on the first hour and a half, kind of periodically on and off on Skype. And then my computer started to behave oddly. And I felt like I needed to turn it off and reboot and all that. And at that point, I was kind of... Not tired of the show. I just was kind of tired of sitting in front of the computer, and I went off and did something else for a while. But anyway, I want to thank Lee and also to Ross for letting me know about the show and letting me come on their show and make a fool out of myself. I forgot to plug my show. I was so disgusted with myself. I realized after it was all over and done with that I had actually forgotten to even mention my podcast. I mean, that's the reason why all these people go on in each other's shows. You know, in part, anyway, and partially because it's part of this little tight-knit podcast community, which I like, by the way. I rather like it. But also to kind of let other people know that their shows are out there. And I completely forgot to do that. Go figure. Oh, but I felt so sorry for Ross, and I really hope, Ross, that you weren't too hungover the next day, because you sounded like you were, three sheets to the wind and straight on till morning. And you were having a lot of fun. And he danced for us. He sang for us. I sang, actually, a little bit. Now, if you want to hear the show, you can. You can go to Ross Patzelt's website, which I believe is www.rosspatzelt.co.uk. And I believe he has the show archived. So you can download it and listen to it and hear me making a fool out of myself, playing the yes-no game, and so forth. But, I'm sure that Ross must have been hungover the next day. I hate hangovers. And hangovers is one of the reasons why I really don't drink as much as I used to. It's not because I don't enjoy alcohol. I do enjoy alcohol. I do drink, and I usually have a drink in the evening. Occasionally, too. I don't drink a lot. So, I kind of was hoping that Ross was not too hungover the next day. I don't have any idea of how drunk Lee was, but I don't think he'd been drinking quite as much. Anyhow, the address for the show, if you would like to contact me, if you have questions, you have comments, anything at all, send it to, are you ready? Get a pen. You don't want to miss this. harrispodcast@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly, tom@tomharrisusa.com. You can also comment on Podbean, where the site is hosted. There's also now the Facebook group, the Tom Harris USA radio show community, and you can go on there and join. Anyone can join this community. Participate in the message. There's not much activity there. So, if you post something, I'll see it. And I do check it every day to make sure that there's nothing interesting there. And there usually isn't. But actually, I was going to talk about alcohol last week, and maybe I'll talk about this week as seeing as how the Sunday's show was such an alcohol-soaked affair. I have two alcoholic drinks that I prefer. Now, I will drink vodka, especially if it's mixed with orange juice, and I will drink gin occasionally. I'm not a big gin drinker. I used to drink it more, but now I've kind of gotten away from it. But I'm a scotch drinker. When I say scotch, I don't mean bourbon. I do drink bourbon occasionally, and I like bourbon and Coke. But I'm a whiskey drinker, and I like scotch from the Highlands and the Islands. Those are my favorites. I am finding now a few Speyside whiskeys that I do like. Preferably for me, the whiskey should be smoky and peaty. My favorites are Lafroy and Lagavulin, which are both from Islay on the west coast of Scotland. And those are very smoky, nice smoky. The best whiskey I've ever had, I think, was a Lafroy 30-year-old. It was like drinking liquid smoke. I loved it. It was absolutely fantastic. And I used to drink Lagavulin a lot. The problem, though, has been that Lagavulin was a very undervalued and underpriced whiskey. Considering the quality of it, considering how wonderful the flavor of it is, it was priced very, very reasonably. And then there was a snag, because there had been a gap of a year where they had produced no whiskey. But they had closed the distillery down for a year. So there was no whiskey coming out of Lagavulin for a whole year. And therefore, the price in the U.S. went way up. I think I was paying $59 a bottle for the standard Lagavulin 16-year-old. Now it's up to like $90 a bottle here. It's amazing to me how much more that whiskey is now. Now, Lafroy, on the other hand, which I actually started out liking less, is actually still quite reasonable at like $45 a bottle here. Now, maybe it's cheaper in other parts of the country, but I really doubt it. I think that with the Lagavulin, it went up quite a bit, whereas the Lafroy is still quite reasonable. Another one I like is Highland Park, which is from the Orkney Islands. It's more of a maritime type of whiskey. There's a little saltiness to it. Excuse me. It still has a lot of smoke and a lot of peat, but not as smoky as an Islay whiskey. And it's quite nice. It's very smooth. They make several different expressions of it. And I believe the one I keep getting is the 10-year-old. The 10-year-old whiskeys are generally cheaper. Obviously, the longer you age it in the barrel, the more intense the flavors are. And that's certainly true of all the whiskeys that I like. But, you know, interestingly enough, I like Lafroy 10-year-old. That's the standard, kind of the standard of their line, the one they sell the most of. And I tell you, I've had the 15-year-old, and I don't see that much of a difference. Maybe my palate's not refined enough, but I just don't tend to see the huge difference between Lafroy, the 10, and the 15-year-old. Another whiskey I like is Talisker, which comes from the Isle of Skye. Ah, the Isle of Skye. Oh, I miss the Isle of Skye. I want to go back. I love the Isle of Skye. But they make a very nice whiskey out there called Talisker. And that is another one of these maritime whiskeys. It's not as smoky, not as peaty, but it's still nonetheless very, very nice. And those are probably my four favorite whiskeys. Now, I do like some of the Speysides. There's a few of them that I think are quite nice. One of them I have right now is called Manachmore. Never heard of it before. This is an independent bottling. My guess is that this is a whiskey that is not normally sold as a single malt. At least not in America, it's not sold as a single malt. And it's probably sold to people like Johnny Walker to blend. Oh, blended whiskey is such a waste of time. Don't waste your money. You can buy Johnny Walker Blue. Okay, Johnny Walker Blue, which is a $200 bottle of whiskey. And the heart of Johnny Walker Blue is Talisker, which you can get for $60 a bottle. You're spending, $140 for this mostly grain alcohol. It's ridiculous. Don't buy blended whiskey. No. It's a terrible, terrible waste of money. The difference between, let me tell you quickly, because I know there's probably people listening who don't really know about whiskey. A single malt whiskey is a whiskey that is produced all at the same distillery. And there's nothing else mixed into it. a vatted malt would be a whiskey which is a bunch of single malts mixed together. And a blended whiskey is a whiskey which is several different single malts blended together. Plus they add neutral grain spirits. That's what makes this horrible burning that cheap whiskey gives you. And this stuff like Johnny Walker Red, which is like the single most nasty alcoholic beverage on the face of the earth. So don't waste your money on... They're cheaper. Yeah, yeah. Blends are always cheaper. But they're not better. And I drink for the taste. I don't drink to get drunk. It's been a long time since I've drunken. It's been a long time since I've actually drunken to excess. I drink for the flavor. I don't drink to get drunk. If I'm going to drink to get drunk, I'm going to get something really cheap. In fact, I'll probably get vodka, because vodka is actually... I wouldn't get drunk on scotch. It would be a waste of money, really. I drink for the taste. So I don't mind spending, you know, $35, $40 a bottle for a bottle of Lafroy 10-year-old. I could spend 20 bucks on a bottle of Johnny Walker Red, but it would be nasty. So it's not worth it to me. Drink a single malt if you're going to drink whiskey. The other Speyside whiskey that I quite liked was Glendoolin. So that's one to check out. I thought that was very vanilla-y sort of flavor to it. I guess scotch is not everybody's cup of tea, so to speak. But I like it. And the other alcoholic drink that I tend to drink more often is cider. I mentioned that to Chris Reardon on one of my comments to his show. And he told me that Ross Patzelt drunk cider. At least I think that's who he said. Well, Ross would vehemently deny it. And in fact, he did when I appeared on his show for the first time. It used to be really, really hard to get hard cider here in the States. And up until the mid to late 80s, it was impossible to get in the States. You just couldn't find it. Nobody was marketing it here. Nowadays, though, you can get all kinds of cider. And I tend to like the ciders that are less soda poppy and more traditional type. My favorite right now of the soda poppy varieties is Magners, which is an Irish cider. It's marketed in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, under the name Magners, and in Southern Ireland under the name Bulmers. So if you're in Ireland or in the British Isles and you know it as Bulmers, it's not sold under Bulmers here, it's sold under Magners here. There's some that I don't care for. I don't like White Diamond, and that's very bitter, highly alcoholic cider. You know, it's a very high alcohol content, but low on flavor. And Strongbow, I don't care for much. I used to like Scrumpy Jack, but the last few times I've had it when I've been over in the UK, I've never seen it here. But the last few times I've had Scrumpy Jack, it didn't taste as good. Now, Scrumpy Jack is a dry cider, and it has a little bit of carbonation to it, which is something that's very unusual in cider. But I tended not to like that so much anymore. The best cider is the cider that I make at home. I really do think there's a few companies out there who are making home style cider, and most of those come from Normandy in France, and you can buy them it's like a large wine bottle of it for about $6 or $7. I get it occasionally. That's a very nice traditional type cider. You pour it in a glass and it looks like it's all cloudy. It's not clear, you know, kind of like unfermented cider would look like. But over a period of years, I've a number of times aged my own, fermented my own cider. And I would go out to Amish country. And when I was living in Cleveland, which is to say up until I moved to Chicago, I would go out to Amish country and I would buy a couple of gallons of raw cider from the Amish. Now, I don't know if people in Europe know who the Amish are, so I'll just describe briefly. It's a religious order of people who live without modern advances. They don't have electricity, etc. They don't use cars. They, you know, they live much as people did back in the 1800s, and they so they tend to, you know, they make very good furniture, and they make good baked goods, and I don't know if they drink. I imagine they do. They must do. They must drink. They probably make their own beer and cider. I was buying gallons of cider from the Amish, and then I would take it home and age the cider myself. And it takes a few weeks. You know, it takes about 3 weeks for the fermentation to really kick in. And it kind of depends on what kind of yeast gets in there. You know, sometimes you'll get a good yeast and you'll get, you know, really nice cider out of it. And then sometimes you'll get a bad yeast, like a bread yeast. Yeah. And it'll turn into vinegar very, very quickly. So you have to really kind of, you know, be on top of it, because when it starts to turn to vinegar, it has a very distinctive taste to it. And it's not too late to rescue it. Yeah, but you won't be able to ferment it. You'll just have to drink it raw, you know, with a little bit of very slight vinegary tang to it. Yeah, that cider often came out quite nice, and I did like doing that and enjoyed making my own cider. But yeah, right now I'd say the Normandy cider that you buy, it's kind of expensive, but it's nice. The best cider that I found recently, as far as the mass-produced stuff, is this stuff. It's from England. It's called Samuel Smith's Organic Cider, and it's produced from organically grown apples. Very, very nice. It's about $4 or $5 for a bottle of this, and the bottles are, well, it's 5% alcohol. It's a good-sized bottle. Oh, it's a one pint, 27 fluid ounces. Or one pint, 2.7 fluid ounces. It's hard to read the label in this. 550 milliliters, for those of you who are into the metric system. It's quite good. And there's only one store around here that actually carries this. But if you are in the UK, I would definitely grab this. It's called Samuel Smith's Organic Cider. And I quite like it, really. Now, there's a number of other ciders that are pretty widely available. Woodchuck makes a lot of varieties. This is a Vermont cider, bit drier. They have different varieties of it. My favorite is the Granny Smith variety of the sweeter ciders. I like the Granny Smith. They also do a colonial style cider, which is okay. They do kind of all taste similar. And that's kind of the problem I have with a lot of American ciders, is that they kind of all taste the same. The worst cider by far, it's just awful stuff, is Hornsby's. And that stuff is made by Ernest and Julio Gallo. It's a wine company. And they make this stuff with sulfides in it. So it gives you the worst hangover ever. It's terrible stuff. I don't even think it tastes good. For some reason, my sister and brother-in-law like that stuff, though. I've never been able to understand. Yeah, there are a lot better ciders now that are available. And even some people are doing pear cider now, which I quite like. Anyhow, looks like we're getting to the end of the show. It's all gone very, very quickly. And so I hope that you've enjoyed it, and I hope to hear from you. You can contact me. It's harrispodcast@gmail.com. Or you can email me at tom@tomharrisusa.com. And hopefully we'll have the website soon. Sorry about the delays, folks, but it is coming. Anyhow, from Tom Harris at Tom Harris USA, cheers, and talk to you soon.